room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Let's Get Freaky podcast. Very excited for tonight's guest. We are joined by Brett Hand from Southern California. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, man. We had our last big snowstorm last weekend.
Wow.
And it's all melted now. It's almost 60 degrees out there, and I'm loving it. It's springtime for real this time, I hope.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. This might sound stupid. I'm from the UK. So when I think of California, I think of super hot beaches.
Yeah, right.
You got the snow there, man.
Oh, yeah. We, I live in Big Bear Lake
nice.
Here in Southern California. It's interesting because people like to describe, you know, Denver as being the Mile High City. Well, we're higher than they are here.
Wow.
And we're up here in a nice little alpine section. We've got lots of pine trees and lakes, and we get the four seasons. You know, spring is just cracking right now, so pretty excited about that because that's where I get a lot of my business is, you know, in the spring, you know, in the warm months, when I can take people out into the forest and really get them exposed to the healing of nature.
I've got to say, because I follow you on Instagram, and I see some of the pictures you put out, man, of where you're based. Beautiful, man.
Thank you.
What a beautiful place. I think I don't think you can beat just nature, just forest. Just you can't beat that for me. That's the best.
Oh, yeah. You know, because, you know, it's funny because we like to, you know, make nature like this separate thing. In reality, I mean, that's all there is.
Yeah.
You know, we just built stuff in the middle of nature, you know. But it's fun. It's like people, you know, like to say, "Ooh, I like to be in nature." It's like, well, you are in nature. Anytime you walk out the door, you're in nature. But, you know, what I like to do is bring people to see aspects that they don't normally see up here, because, you know, we're a tourist town. And so a lot of people come here to go skiing, to go boating on the lake, but they stay kind of centralized, you know, in the town, where you have the bars and you have the restaurants and, you know, all this kind of stuff, which is great. You know, it's all good stuff. But I like to take them out, you know, out off the beaten path a little bit, you know,
yep.
Where it's like, wow, this is incredible. I've been to Big Bear since I was a kid and I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot. It's really cool. It's, you know, I love what I do. And
yeah,
I'm very
man.
Passionate about this. You know, it's I'm living a dream.
Yeah. I love that, man. That's what it's all about. Where you're based, are you surrounded by other houses and stuff like that? Or are you pretty much out there on your own?
Well, where I'm based, the building I'm in right now, where we're sitting, I sit in a meadow that is about 30 acres. And I have a building in the middle of it. I was guided here. This place, when I found it, had been sitting vacant for probably like 5 years. And the people who wanted to rent it are a nonprofit organization, and they were just waiting for the right fit. And when we were filling out the paperwork, they must have said 3 or 4 times, wow, this is perfect. This is the perfect fit, you know?
Wow.
Yeah,
meant to be.
Yeah, it really was. It really is. We'd spoke a little bit beforehand about my story, and the thing that started me on this path, pretty much kickstarted it, was when I had a Reiki session back in probably about 10 years ago, and I had this very vivid vision. And it wasn't until I got to this place that I have now, that aspects of the vision started appearing in real life. And so, I've been telling people lately, it's like, okay, I knew I had a vision to guide me, but I didn't realize it was a prophecy,
Wow,
because
man.
it is coming true now. A
Yeah.
lot of these things that I saw in my vision are now, I'll be walking through the meadow. All these wildflowers, and all of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh crap! This is from the vision."
Oh, that's
I
so
saw
cool.
a building, an A-frame house in the forest, and one day I was walking, down the street and looking across the meadow at the building, and I went, "That's it! That's from the vision." And so, excuse me. So it's just like I said, I'm living a dream,
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that, man.
literally.
So you had the Reiki session, and before that, you had no idea of this, the life you'd be living now.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, before I started doing this, I lived down in Los Angeles. I'd been a union plumber for 30 years. I had worked my way up to being a plumbing supervisor at a county hospital. I worked for Los Angeles County. So I had a really good job, make six figures a year. And I just wasn't feeling it. And I was just not feeling it. And I got a Reiki session. To address an injury I had in my neck, like a pinched nerve or something. And I went into this Reiki session, and it just changed my life completely. And within a couple of months, I wrote it to, my severance letter, gave them 2 weeks' notice, and walked away, and came to the forest to be a healer.
Yeah,
I
I
just
love that.
it's just I it's like I had no choice. It
Yeah.
just it called me, and I've been doing it ever since. I've been here, up here in
Yeah.
Big Bear for almost 10 years now.
I love that. I love people finding their passion and just going for it, just following their heart, following their gut and going for it. And that's what you've done there, man. And that's the
Well, you know,
reward you get.
yeah, and as I walk this path, I know that the things that the trials and tribulations and challenges and things that I go through enable me to help other people. Because people will come to me and it's like, "Oh, I hate my job, oh, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Well, stop doing it." "Well, I can't because this, and this." I'm like, "Yes, you can. I know I did it." And I tell them my story,
Yeah.
and it's just, when I'm not just talking the talk, I'm walking the walk.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between that. Would I be able to be doing what I'm doing now 20 years ago? Probably not.
Yeah.
Because I had to live life to this point, in order to be ready for it. All the
This was
lessons.
always meant to be. This was your destiny.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
I've actually had I had a past life regression done on me, and in the past life regression, I saw myself as a wizard in a courtyard of a castle. And I walked up these stairs and I looked out over a balcony of this room, and I saw this river with all these, like little settlements on it. And I realized I was looking out over a kingdom. And the person who was, doing the session on me asked me, goes, "Is this your place? Or do you feel, comfortable?" And I'm like, "No, I feel like I belong here, but it's not mine." And so he goes, "Okay, well, let's go back again." Right. And so when I went back again, all of a sudden I was standing out in space. I was just floating in space. And out in front of me were black holes. There was just lined up black holes. And they had like these, worms attached at the back, going off into space. And I realized they were portals. And so he goes, "Oh, I think we went too far." Right. And so he brought me back again, and I came back down into another medieval setting. Well, this time I was in the middle of like a battle. There was people fighting around me, and all of a sudden there was fire everywhere. And I put this bubble around us, around me, and then whoosh, I went back up into space in front of the portals again. And so what my higher self told me in that regression was that in every world that I go to, every incarnation, I'm always the wizard. When I'm out there in space, I'm waiting to see where I'm called next, to which portal I'm going to go through to go to which world. And
Wow,
so
man.
it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was at one point, I think probably about a year and a half ago, I'd cut all my hair off, cut my beard. I was going to be this internet, life coach. I was
Yeah.
just going to be, I was going to put all these, websites out and all these click funnels and all this stuff. And I did, and it just didn't feel right. It felt like I was faking it. And I was walking out in the forest one day, and I heard a voice. And the voice says, "Grow your beard, be the wizard." And I was like, "What? What? Grow my beard, be the wizard?" I heard it again, "Grow your beard, be the wizard." And it was, through a course of about 2 weeks, I kept hearing this voice telling me this out in the forest. So I said, "All right, I'm going to grow my beard. I'm going to be the wizard." And as soon as I made the decision, that's when things started happening. Grew my beard, went back to being the wizard, being authentic, which is so funny. It's ironic because, in the world today, when you tell somebody you're a wizard and they're like, "Oh yeah, right," they think you're being fake, when in fact I'm being the most authentic I can possibly be. And it's just the opposite of what people expect.
Yeah, well, I think you're the first wizard I've ever talked to, which is super cool. Very excited
Thank
about that. And I've got to say as well, you said about cutting off your beard. You've got the best beard I've ever seen as well. I always say on the
you.
show, when I get a good beard, I always give a shout out to the beard because obviously I love a beard myself.
Absolutely.
But your beard is the longest and coolest so far on Let's Get Freaky. So
Oh, right
that's
on.
awesome,
Thanks,
man.
man.
Never shave it. I'm thinking of growing mine a bit longer as well.
Yeah, go for it, man. You
Yeah.
get a, you get a good, it's
Oh,
not
thank
patchy
you,
or
man.
anything.
Yeah, I'm keeping it going.
Yeah, for
I've had a
sure.
beard now for about five, seven, something like 7 years, I think. I can't imagine. I don't know what's under there anymore. So
I know.
that's so cool, though, the journey and the calling that you had, and the fact that when you actually listen to that and let yourself be that, that's where you feel the most, that's you. That's what was
Yeah,
meant,
it's,
that's what's meant to be.
and that's what's, I think is missing, in today's world is, when we're in high school, I don't know how the school was back in the UK, but school here, you're about junior year, you're what, 11th grade, and you go to your guidance counselor, right? And they put you, have you do all these tests and all these things. So you figure out what you're supposed to do in life,
Yep.
and nothing, nobody wants you to think on your own and feel what you should do.
Yeah.
They all want you to fit into, into a box, a pre-made box. And, I went through that route. I became a plumber, following my dad's footsteps. And I can honestly say I just never really enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed making money, I tell my kids, if you are really passionate about something and you get really, really good at it because you just love it, in today's, internet world, you can make money at anything. You
Yeah, for sure,
know,
man.
you
Yeah.
can figure out a way to make money if you're really good and passionate about it. Because that's one of the things, people recognize passion. When I give talks, and I teach classes, I'm doing a Reiki class this next Saturday. I do classes. I mean, people can feel my, my enthusiasm. They can feel my passion for it. They can, I'm really, I want them to get it. I love being a teacher, to find that thing that you're passionate about is the most important thing in life, as far as I'm concerned.
100%. Yeah, I agree, man. 100%.
Because, I tell people this all the time. I say, if there's one thing that you take away from what I teach, it's you got to know exactly what you want out of life. You got to know what you want. Because once you narrow it down, and some people don't know what they want, but then how do you want to feel? You know, it's all about emotion, right? How do you want to feel? How do you want to, you know, a lot of times people come in midlife to me, and I ask them this, the one question I said, how do you want to finish? How do you want to finish? Because we know how you know, we can detail the past, we can detail the present, but how do you want to finish from today moving forward? You know, because once you decide that, you know, the opportunities might come, you know, the glimmering, shimmering package, all, you know, beautiful looking and everything. It's like, wow, it's, you know, it's enticing, but is that going to get me closer to where I want to go, or is it going to take me further away? And it's simple. But you don't know about all these things going around in your life unless you know where you're going. You got to know where you're going.
And
You know?
you've got to feel that as well, and
Yes. Oh yeah. It
listen
can't
to
be.
yourself, listen to your
It can't be
senses.
phony. It can't be what, well, my wife wants me to do this, so I'm going to do that, or my dad wants me to do this, or something like that. Right? It's got to be you alone. You know, your, you know, passion. Because, you know, a lot, there's a lot of talk about, you know, people don't want to die alone, right? I don't want to die alone. I want to be, you know, I want to die, you know. But in reality, when you're born, you are born by yourself, unless you're a twin, obviously, but you were born alone and you die alone. You will face death by yourself, no matter how many people are in the room, right? So you got to get cool with doing what feels right for you,
Yeah,
because
man.
it's all coming for us one day.
Yeah, for sure. And I can just tell with you that like the energy you put out, because when you're in a good place yourself and you're putting out good energy, that just helps the people. That's contagious to people around you.
Oh
And
yeah, for sure.
yeah, man. Do you get people come and stay with you that are like, you know, there might be city life people that are sort of in that job and, you know, it's good money, as you say, it's good money. So you don't want to leave it because you're worried about leaving that and then maybe struggling. Do you get a lot of people like, you know, I'll say wealthy people that come and stay with you and sort of
Well, yeah,
they'd
I mean,
love to live your life?
because I do an Airbnb experience. You know, it's on Airbnb, so people. I don't have lodging. I'm not a host, but I host an experience. So people, when they book up here through Airbnb, when they're on the website, they can find my Wandering Wizard Forest Adventures, you know, on Airbnb. And I've had a good handful of people that can look back on coming to see me, going for the walk in the forest, doing the energy healing session afterwards, and point to that one day as being the day that shifted things to where they changed where they were going, changed what
That's
they were
so
doing.
cool.
And it's so, you know, that's why I do this. You know, if I were to choose one thing to be rich over, this wouldn't be it. The fulfillment, you know, you get from following your passion. It's just, you know, to watch people's lives change, is one of the best things ever.
So from that Reiki session that you had that changed everything for you, that was the start of your spiritual journey. Did you, how was that? What was the effect of that at the start? Was it an immediate change, or was
Well,
it a
see, I'll tell you the story. So, because this is actually the point that most people like to hear. So I went to this Reiki master because I'd been to my chiropractor, and he said that, you know, I may have a herniated disc or I may have a pinched nerve. We didn't know. So I re really wasn't I really wasn't interested in going the traditional medical route. You know, so I went to, right across the street was an acupuncture place. And so I went to acupuncture, and it was a traditional Chinese woman. It was like you walk into her office, it was like an apothecary, had all the jars of all the herbs on, you know, on the shelves behind a counter and all that stuff. And so I went to her for a while, and it seemed to help a little bit, but something just wasn't, you know, I needed something else. So I had looked in the, I forget where I saw it. This was, back in 2014. I don't even know if Facebook was even around yet. I don't know. But I saw an ad for Reiki. And so I'm like, I don't know what it is really, but heard about it. Give it a try. So I go to this woman and I sit down and she goes, gives me the typical spiel. Don't expect anything. You can have visions, you could have see colors, have sensations, gave me the whole, possibility, but don't try to guide it, let it happen. I said, okay, I can do this. So I laid down on the table, she started me going, and within a couple of minutes, I was in a vision. I was just launched in this vision. I saw a person with long flowing hair, wearing a robe, walking in a field of wildflowers. Right. And then as I saw that, I started thinking to myself, is this Jesus or something? Because that's what it kind of looked like from the back. And all of a sudden I was in that body. I was first person. And so I was
Wow.
walking, and as I'm walking through this field of wildflowers, I took my hands and just went like this, and I commanded the forest. The forest just whoosh, pine trees. So I was walking in the forest. So as I'm walking, the forest started getting darker. And as I walked through this forest, there was, I could tell there was a cave like on the right hand side. And there was a glow coming from inside the cave. And there, I could tell there was a being, there was an entity in the cave, but I couldn't see it. I could just feel that there was something there. So I walked up and I asked the being, I said, is there anything that you need to tell me? And the being told me, everything you need, you will find on your path. That was it. Kept walking. So as I kept walking, I kind of got out of the forest and came to this sheer cliff, this rock face. And there was like a stone circle about, I don't know, 8 or 10 feet across, right in front of it. And so I stepped into this stone circle and I started doing like a qigong or a tai chi kind of form, right? And I just kept pushing and pushing. And then when I looked up where this at the top of this cliff, and there was a thundercloud starting to form. And so it started rumbling, there was thunder. And the next thing I know, a lightning bolt came down and struck me right in the third eye, knocked me on the ground. And then I stood up, kind of dusted myself off, and I started doing my form again in this stone circle. And then I looked up again, and the cloud, another lightning bolt came down and struck me again. Only this time it stuck. So there was this lightning bolt stuck to my forehead, all going up to the cloud. And then so I kept doing my form. And as I'm doing this form, I could see I was emanating energy from my palms of my hands. I was emanating energy from my heart. I was emanating from my eyes, just emanating energy everywhere. And it's interesting, a little side note, when I teach the kids class, I like to tell people to focus on like that image of Iron Man, right? The character where he's
Yeah.
standing there like this. I'm like, yeah,
Yeah.
he's wearing a Reiki suit. So I kept doing the form, and then I stopped, and then I started walking along. And I started walking further, and as I started walking further, I saw this waterfall. And there was a pool underneath the waterfall. And so I went and stood in it, and I could feel just the energy and the water just flowing over me. And it didn't even feel like water. It felt like there was just energy flowing. It was really interesting. So then I left that, and I started walking again, and I was walking through this field again, and I had this dog. A dog that was like my best friend when I was, younger in my 20s. And boom, he was right there with me. He was walking with me. And so then as I keep walking, I get to another forest scene, and I see this house, this A-frame house just nestled in the forest. And there's a bonfire burning in front of it, right? Big bonfire. And so I walk up to the bonfire, and I start going like this with my hands, and I start commanding the fire up in pillars. It's just shooting up in pillars. And so then I kept doing this, And then I noticed that my family was standing around the bonfire too, my ex-wife and kids. And I went like this, and I sprouted wings, and I started flying over the scene, right? And so I was flying around, and then I landed, and then my wife turns and waves her arm and says, "There's people waiting here for you." And I turned around, and there was like this big group of people. And so right about that time, I started hearing, "Okay, go ahead and start coming back now. You know, start coming back
Whoa.
to the room." And the session was over. So
Wow.
so I came to and started recollecting my my vision. And so the Reiki master asked me, "So how was your your session? You know, what do you see any colors or anything?" I'm like, "Well, let me tell you." And so I started telling her the vision. And after I got done, she told me that she goes, "You know, when you walked into the room today, I had a feeling you were a druid." And I was like, "Wow, that's really cool. What's a druid?" You know, because I hadn't gone down that path yet.
Yeah.
And since then, I you know, obviously did have been doing druid studies. But it was just so interesting that she told me, she goes, "We need to book you another session." And I'm like, "Okay." So, you know, I was kind of blown away by that whole, you know, episode. So, you know, I went home and wrote it down in my journal. And, you know, so she calls me a couple of days later, "How are you feeling? I got a question for you." She goes, "I'd like to bring in another person for your session. I'd like to bring in a shaman so we can both work on you at the same time." And so I said, "Okay, all right, that sounds cool." So I went to the scheduled time and sat down and talked with the woman who was the shaman, and I recollected my my first vision. And as I'm, you know, telling her, she's nodding her head at certain points, and when I got done, she looks at me right in the eyes and just goes, "Welcome, Earth Keeper." And I was just like, "Whoa."
Whoa.
And she goes, "Do you realize that you commanded all four elements in your vision?"
Yeah.
And I was like, I hadn't really thought about it. I just like, "Wow, that's insane." So they started putting me back on the table and started doing the session. And I went into another vision. This time I was standing on a cliff, and out in front of the, I was, and when I look over the cliff, there was this huge bay of water, like a big, just like a big ocean. And I could see a mountain range on one side, another mountain range coming across, and there was like a gap in there. And so there was like this opening to the bay. And when I looked down, I was standing, I could see like there was a marble, like white marble ledge that I was standing on, and I leaned forward and I fell off this ledge, and then I realized I wasn't falling, I was flying again. I looked up and I had wings, and I was flying over this bay, and then I turned around in the air, and I looked where I came from, and I saw this cliff, and I saw these white pillars and this white dome, and I knew that right then. I said, "That's Atlantis." And so I turned around and I flew through it. Right. And then I flew back out, and then I flew back over the bay again. And then this time I flew over through that opening where the two mountain ranges were. And I was flying over deserts and jungles and cities and, you know, over the whole world. And I looked down at one point and I saw that there was a like a horse-drawn wagon with two guys driving the horse-drawn wagon. And so I landed in the back of this wagon, and I noticed that they were dressed like gladiators. You know, they had like the, you know, the armor and the, you know, the kind of the belts going across and stuff like this. And so I thought, well, maybe I'm a gladiator, right? But then something came from the sky. I don't even know what it was. Something attacked us, and my wings came out, and a sword came out, and I started just, I was just fighting. My wings were flapping around me. My sword was flying, and I guess I defeated it, because then I flew away again. But then all of a sudden, I was like transported into like a cave, this big, vast, huge cave, And I could see up at the front of the cave, there was like an altar or a stage or something, and this bright light. And I looked down and I saw that I was wearing like all this chrome armor, and I could see my wings were tucked in. And I realized I was an archangel, and I was in the presence of God. That bright light up on the stage on the altar was God. And so then again, okay, go ahead and start coming back now. And the session was over. And so yeah, that right there was how
Wow.
I started my spiritual journey.
How was you? Is it, did it feel like you were physically there? Like
Yeah.
you could feel, you could touch, you could smell.
I was like having a dream, only I was, obviously I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah.
But when I was talking about that first vision, walking in the field,
Yeah.
right, flowers, that's what it's like here at this meadow that I'm in.
Yeah, that's what you were seeing.
I was walking through it one day and I went, oh shit, this is it. This is from my vision.
Yeah.
And then that A-frame house, is the building I'm in right now.
Wow, man. So that guy that you saw walking along, that you went into his body, was that you're going into yourself, basically? That was you.
Yeah, that was me, and because it's interesting because I used to have, back in, my 20s and stuff, I had long, really long hair. I'm letting it grow now.
Yeah.
That was my sign,
Yeah, man. Wow. So before you had this amazing awakening, was you a spiritual man at all? Did you have
Well,
what?
I mean, I was born and raised, Catholic. I
Yeah.
went to Catholic school, all that stuff. But I think I had reached a point where, I kind of rejected, the rigidity of religion. And I was, one of those people that, I wouldn't say God, I would say universe. I wouldn't say, all the terminology. But the thing was, when I felt my most spiritual was when I was training martial arts. I trained, I was fortunate enough to train martial arts with a student of Bruce Lee, a
Wow.
direct student. So I trained with him for about 10 years, and I got, it was interesting because I knew that when I was training, that it wasn't just training to fight. I wasn't just training to kick somebody's ass. I was training for a higher purpose, and I didn't know what it was. I just kept doing it. I
Yeah.
just felt like I was in the flow. I was in my spiritual, higher self, I guess,
Yeah.
when I was training martial arts. But it's interesting because when you look at like the samurai aren't complete samurai until they learn how to heal. They learn how to kill, but they also must learn how to heal as well, on the battlefield. And so it was almost like a natural progression to go from training. The art that Bruce Lee, created to doing, healing sessions. And incidentally, I just today I talked to a yoga instructor, and we're going to bring yoga into our healing center. And I'm also going to start teaching some Filipino stick fighting,
Oh,
which that's
wow.
what I used to compete in that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start doing that too. So it's kind of bringing stuff full circle right now.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. I've heard that before, people talking about martial arts, and there is something spiritual about that as well. I'd love to do that, man. It's something I'm thinking about, just as a, just to learn something new, but I'd love to step into the martial arts.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty
sure. I'm sure
cool.
I've got friends listening to this now that are laughing at me, but that is something I would like to do, man. That it really is, because I've heard a lot of people say that as well.
that was one of the things that drew me to martial arts when I was a kid, was the kind of the spiritual Zen esoteric. Watch some of the old Kung Fu movies in the 70s, and they're doing all kinds of crazy flying and. It's like, wow, I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah,
So
it teaches you so much more than fighting, like and protection, and yeah, I'd love to do that,
oh,
man.
absolutely.
Yeah. So in your first vision, that the people that you saw at the end, standing there waiting for you. They're the people that you're helping now.
Yeah, that's what I didn't realize I was going to be a healer. I just figured, I'm just going to be, I'll retire from the county, being a plumber. And I had, was funny because I told people when I worked with, I said, but if I think I'm going to, go move to Big Bear, go up in the mountains and open up a Reiki center. And they're like, what? How are you going to make money doing that? And blah, blah, blah,
Worry about
yeah.
that
It's just, it's interesting when we, talk about manifestations, manifesting. There's all these techniques out there on how to manifest, right? Law of attraction, all kinds of stuff. The thing is when you set it, a manif, I want to manifest something. We have to let go of the how. We can't just hang on. Oh, well, no, it's not going, this is not the way I pictured it. It's got to go this way. And you try to micromanage it, you're going to destroy it. You have to just let it go, let it, come the way it's supposed to come. And so, to manifest something like this, and I'm seeing the manifestations just coming quickly and quickly and quickly, because you're on the right path when you are seeing these manifestations just happen in real time. It's crazy, man. It's out of this world.
It's cool. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm from Essex, London, in the UK, and I moved to Dorset, which is only 2 hours away. It's not a massive move, really, in the greater scheme of things. But telling friends and family at the time when I first was saying I'm thinking of moving to Dorset, it was like I was moving to the end of the world. You know, like, it was like,
Yep.
what? Yeah, what are you going to do? How are you going to work? Where are you going to make money? And all these, questions
Fear.
that fear that family, they don't want
Yeah.
you to see you hurting and doing something silly. So you respect that. But at the time, it was like, no, we're going to do it. We're going to be all right. And so far, touch wood, it's great. And it's like yourself. I do feel like I'm on a bit of a journey as well with just following my gut and going for it. So it's resonating with what you're saying tonight. It's really resonating with me, man. It's really cool
Yeah,
seeing.
it's really important, when you make a big leap, right? Similar to what I did, it's pretty huge. A lot of people scare the shit out of them to, quit a job that they've been doing for 30 years. But to make a big leap like that, it's like you're setting a precedent in your own life. Because once you've done that big, huge leap, you're just like people, you're going to quit a job you've been working at for 6 months. You're like, man, that's
Easy.
like you're saying shit, and so you're able to, I tell people when you make that big leap, then you can just kind of like skip across stones all the way across the ocean
100%,
because
man.
you have that faith that you can, just keep going.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with me and my wife. Like we're talking about moving to America, which is something that we'd really like to do in the future. And if you had said that to me probably 2 years ago, I would have said no. There's no way I could do that because I couldn't be able to do this, wouldn't be able to do that. But now it's like, no, we've done this small move, which is
Right.
really a small move, but sort of feels big. We could go anywhere now. So yeah, 100%, man.
Yeah, once you face that fear, you become unstoppable. That's one of the techniques, I teach people, when people are afraid of, certain things, that, oh, I can't do that. That's scary. I have people find that thing that scares you the most and sit down and just see it all the way through, imagine it all the way through to the worst case scenario, the worst it could possibly be, right? And sit with that, right? Sit with that for until you'll sit with it long enough, and all of a sudden it doesn't feel scary anymore. And it's like I like to call it defanging the snake, because the snake can't hurt you anymore. And it's really important to, because ultimately, what's the worst that can happen? You're gonna die. Right? Okay, the worst that can happen, you're gonna die. You're gonna die anyways. Right? So you're gonna die afraid, or you're gonna die kicking ass.
Oh, I love that, man. 100%. Because at the end of the day, most of our fears that we fear are never going to happen. In reality, a lot of the
Yeah,
time,
exactly.
most of us are never going to. The worst case scenario normally could happen, but it's normally doesn't.
Right. Yeah,
We
it's
build ourselves up.
things are never as bad as you think they're going to be, and they're never as good as you think they're going
Yes,
to
100%.
be.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So that second part of your vision that you had, do you think that that's something that's happened or something that's coming? Because if
Which
that's
one?
coming, that sounds a little scary. When you was
What was
back
that?
when you were you had the wings and you was
Oh.
battling the creature from the sky, is that something that's possibly been, or does is that a
I don't
worry?
know. I don't know. Doing this kind of spiritual work, I've, faced things in people. But, the thing is that my personal belief on this is that any thing that wants to attach to you, an entity or spirit or something like that, the best way for them to attach to you is to for them to scare you so you feel fear. Once you have that vibration of fear, they can attach to you, right? Fear is their weapon. So one of the things I teach people, because I've had students tell me that they didn't want to work with a certain person because they felt something was dark in them and stuff like this. And it's a real fear, but I told them, I said, you cannot show fear. You have to train yourself to where whatever you're facing, you have to have that confidence that I will prevail. I tell people too, you need to know who your posse is, right? You got to have your spiritual posse, whether it be your ancestors, whether it be your archangels, whether it be ascended masters, spirit guides, elementals, whatever it be, you have to make conversation with them. You need to get good with them, so you know who you're traveling with. You know where your magic comes from. You know who's, gonna have your six, so to speak. It's really important because, and it's also important to have your techniques. You have your toolbox that you travel with. Your tool bag. There's crystals, there's wands, there's all kinds of stuff that you can use. But, I also tell people that all of these things, all these tools, right? Are just to help you, to assist you, but those tools don't do the work on their own. It's got to come from you. So these are the things that we teach, finding that superpower, and you have to know this is what I do. I remember first person that came to me and says, I think I have a spirit attached to me or an entity attached to me. Can you remove it? And I was kind of have you talked to the priest? I wasn't confident, but after I worked with this kind of stuff, people come to me and ask me, can you do this? And even if I haven't done it, I'm going to say, yes, I can, because I know I can. Just the other day, I had a woman come to me and she was dealing with some sexual trauma from her childhood. And she was confident that she had a snake in her womb. And she had asked some of the shamans that we work with if they could, help her remove the snake. And they said, "Well, this isn't the right time. We don't have the right tools, and blah blah blah." Right. So she said, "Well, you're a wizard. I think you could do it right now." And I'm like, "I think I could. Let's go." So we went into my treatment room, got down on the table, and I just, channeled how to do it. We did it because I have a tool that's like an arrowhead with a deer horn on the other side. And I use that for energetic surgeries for opening up. Right. And so I stitched her back up, everything. And later in the day, she's like, "You know what? I can feel where you made the incision." She's like, "I can feel the pain." So it was really cool. We all have skills, we all have powers. And it's just up to us to have the confidence to find them.
So you just had a knowing that was just a natural knowing that was just in you, and it worked, man, and it works.
Yep.
Wow. That first guy that came to you with an attachment, How long ago was that?
Oh, God, this was probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
Not, if not longer. Yeah.
When someone's got an attachment, can you tell that they've got that?
Well, here's the thing. A lot of my healing is through talking, right? Because your voice is frequency, your voice is vibration, right? And what I find is through asking certain questions, through really doing a good, a really thorough investigation verbally, is when most people come to me and they say, I have an attachment. It's not something that's attached to them. It's something that they let go of and they keep throwing a rope to it and pulling it back. You know,
Interesting.
they keep bringing it back in. You know, when you keep telling that same story, you know, I see people on social media that they like to, you know, commemorate the day they had their car accident. Oh, last year was a really bad year. And they show pictures of when they were in the hospital. And so I'm like, change your freaking story already. You know, you keep talking about this stuff. It's no wonder your life is shit.
Yeah.
You know, stop telling that story. Start telling stories about success. Start telling stories about love. Start telling stories about health. Start telling stories about wealth. You know, start convincing yourself, you know,
Yeah.
because it's that inner talk.
Yeah. 100%,
You know,
man. The energy that we
also,
concentrate on is so important.
oh, big
Because
time.
obviously there's good and bad in everything, but if you concentrate on the bad, the negative, you're going to get more of that. I mean,
Right.
that seems, yeah, 100%, man.
Well, that's what the news is doing to us.
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
focus on war. Focus on, you
Yep.
know, how about what during the eclipse? Yes, was it yesterday? During the
Yeah.
eclipse, they had all these, you know, declaring a state of emergency and stuff. I'm like, are
Yeah,
you
that's
freaking
weird, man.
kidding me?
It's
This
very
is like a
strange.
I mean, if there's anything to be said about it, it's not going to be, you know, apocalypse. It's going to be, you know, a shift in consciousness.
Yeah,
You know, so they
yeah.
wanted people to be harnessed to fear when the shift of consciousness came.
Yeah, man. Very strange. 100%. It's like the powers that be, they want us to be unhappy. They want us to be negative. They
Yeah,
want us. They want us fighting each other.
because they want to be the answer.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
have, you know, you have a bunch of problems that they caused, but I
Yeah.
have the answer to your problem. It's in this syringe.
Yeah.
You
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
know,
Yeah.
because you know the school systems, right? They're not designed to get kids to open up and discover their true talents. They want you just smart enough to run the factory.
Yep. Yeah,
They don't
man.
want you smart enough to go be an entrepreneur and create your own business and create your own wealth and all these things. You know, they want you just smart enough to be able to maintain and manage other people doing their work, working for
Yeah.
them.
Yeah,
Right?
man.
That's why this whole thing and even the religions, most of the religions, they want you to have to go to them for salvation. And so you don't need a middleman.
Yeah.
And go out in the
Yeah.
forest.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. If we all rely on ourselves and
Yep.
all believe in ourselves, we're all positive, we're all happy, we're all doing what we want to do, that's not good for the powers that be, that's for sure. That doesn't help them. Doesn't help that system at all.
Absolutely.
Which is horrible, because I hate the exactly what you're saying. I hate that system. I hate
Well,
the
the greatest power that we have in today's society is, you know, I have this saying that I use all the time. So I choose not to participate.
Yeah.
You don't have to carry a gun. You don't have to, you know, beat up people. You don't have to demonstrate. You don't have to do all this stuff, right? Just, I'm not participating. And just, you know, even the band Rush had that song Free Will. And the line says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. You
Yeah.
know, that's so powerful. You know, because I remember when a certain fellow got elected into the White House. And everybody was losing their mind. And about a month afterwards, 2 months afterwards, I forget what it was, I made a post. I said, so has your life changed because somebody else is in the White House? You know, it's just, you know, it's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
You know, the only way we're going to truly have power is to say, you know what? I'm not voting for either one of you motherfuckers. Stepping
Yeah,
away.
just stepping out, that's fine, man. Just stepping out the system, stepping out
Yeah.
the, yeah, 100%, stepping out the matrix. if you
Yep.
like.
Create, yeah, create your, create your magic, live your magic, and the only way you know your purpose is to follow your, your authenticity, follow your emotions, when babies are born, right? Babies can't talk, babies can't walk, can't do anything for themselves. But they know when they're happy, they know when they're sad, they know when they're hungry, right? And they act accordingly. They cry, they laugh,
And
it's emotions.
they do
It's our
what makes
guidance
them
system.
happy. Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
So we need to, kind of revert a little bit. Does that make me happy? No. Then why am I doing it still? Choose not to participate. It doesn't just apply to politics. You can choose not to participate in anything.
See, the dream for me one day is to have a cabin in the woods somewhere in the US where I can just do my podcast and just live in a, oh man, a bit like where you're living now. That's the dream, man. That's the
Yep.
goal one day.
Yeah, just keep believing in it, man. Keep on the path.
Yeah, for sure. I've got to ask you about paranormal experiences. Before you was on this journey, did you have any experiences with the paranormal?
I haven't seen ghosts. I haven't, and I think the closest paranormal is, dreams. Actually, I'll tell you some dreams I had. So back a couple of years ago, and this is after I started on this journey, but it's still, I think it's still kind of paranormal. So back a few years ago, I was watching something on the internet, and I had heard this guy talk about where he gets his intel from the council, the Galactic Council. Right, I'm thinking to myself, that's fucking cool, man. I want to be in the Galactic Council. That's cool stuff, right? So I got my pendulum out, and I asked my higher self, "Can I be in the Galactic Council?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, I am in the Galactic Council." So I did my pendulum. Am I in the Galactic Council now? No. Shit. Okay. About, I don't know, a couple weeks, maybe a month or so later, I was doing an open house in my for my healing center, and these two individuals walked in, and they were a couple. They were young, in their 20s, and they're very tall. Both of them were 6 feet or taller, and I just thought that was odd, And because I'm 6'4" myself, so I don't usually see people I look eye to eye with. And so the woman went and started, seeing one of our practitioners. And the man asked me, he goes, "Hey, get a minute. I kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit." And I'm like, "Sure, step into my office over here." So we sat in there, and he started asking me about what I'm doing and what my goals are and all this type of thing. And we got down to the core of what I was doing, and how I'm here and why I'm here and stuff like that. And so he was, "Oh, wow, it was really cool talking to you, blah, blah, blah." And so we walk out of my office, and I go and mingle with the other, people, the other guests, and turned around, and they left. They were gone. And, wow, that's interesting. So the next day, the practitioner who came up, and he actually introduced us, he stayed at my house. And so we're drinking coffee the next morning. And I'm like, "What? Those people that came, those tall people?" He goes, Yeah. I'm like, "Dude, they were aliens. I think they were aliens." And he's like, "Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too." And then my wife was listening to us talk, and she thought about it and goes, "You know what? I think they were angelic." And I went, "Yeah, maybe they were." Right. And so, I kind of went into a meditation, later that day, and I asked, "Was this?" I felt like I was being interviewed, like I was being questioned, And I'm like, "Was that an interview?" And I was told yes. And I said, "Well, how did I do?" I said, "And then I got that I passed. I did well." And so I'm like, "Okay, so now what?" So some more time passed. And then one night, probably about a month later, I had this dream, right? And in this dream, I was like doing this obstacle course, right? Only it wasn't a physical obstacle course. It was like metaphysical or energetic obstacle course. It was really weird. And when I got done with it, all of a sudden, Liam Neeson appears to me. And I went, "Are you kidding me? Liam Neeson?" And he says, "Well, if I came to you as what I truly am, you wouldn't understand." And then he morphed into this thing and then morphed back into Liam Neeson. And I was like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, "Was this a test?" And he said, "Yes, it was a test." And I said, "Well, did I pass?" He said, "Yes, you passed." And so then just recently, gosh, I'm drawing a blank on this now because it was just so. So the woman who came with the gentleman, the tall woman, she just came like to my office. That's the woman I removed the snake from.
Okay. Yeah.
So we talked about that, right? And she felt like, I guess they were her and this gentleman that they're now broke up, but they saw themselves as being, star seeds, doing exactly what I thought they were doing through her traumatic experience that I helped her heal with the snake. She was having these father issues, and so we had like a lot of conversation that weekend, and we were able to come to the conclusion that we had time traveled to this point, and that I was here to be that father figure for her. And so now she identifies me as being the father that she doesn't have. We're pretty, we did a portal. She does portals. And so we did a portal and it was snowing outside. And so she did this guided meditation with me. And she goes, "Okay, go ahead and open your eyes now." And as soon as I opened my eyes, a thunderclap at the exact moment I opened my eyes. And so, we're pretty sure that where I am now, something I saw in the vision, it's pretty safe to say that I've been activated into the Galactic Council.
So these guys were star seeds. That's so
Yeah.
interesting.
Oh, you know what? I just remembered the dream, the last dream that I drew a blank on. So in this dream, I was in a group, kind of like the Avengers or something, right? We were like this high level group, and we all had these devices that would like beep, like a beeper, a pager or something that activated when we were called into action. And then there was this woman, her name was Angela, and this woman was like kind of like I don't know, the leader of this group, the liaison to the higher, calling, the higher source. And so it was just kind of like, "Be ready, you've been, like a sleeper cell almost, we're time to be activated." So things have been quite interesting this last
Yeah.
couple weeks,
Wow,
just since
man.
that.
So this is very recent as well.
Yeah, this was very recent.
Interesting, man. It sounds like you've got battles coming, spiritual battles.
Yeah, my cards, I pull tarot, I pull oracle cards, and they've been very pointed about meeting people, teaming up, bringing a lot of abundance in, and really attaining the end goal. I think this eclipse ties in with all that, the new moon, all that stuff all happened on the same day.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's funny when I have conversations with people, go out on our forest walks, and we'll talk about very, very deep spiritual, things. And I'm like, "Wow, I never really told anybody about this. I don't have conversations like this before." And, I'm thinking to myself, "This is what I talk about every day.
Yeah.
This is my world. I am at this level all the time. It's, I wasn't, I don't know, it just, I'm amazed sometimes at just the way life is.
It is cool. It sounds like your journey that you're on is far from over. I feel like you're not on the last level,
I
nowhere
didn't get
near.
here just to get here.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
Oh yeah.
And
Oh
with that second vision that you had with these the dreams and your journey so far, there's definitely more coming, man. When we're in the dream state, because obviously it's really hard to tell what's going on when we're dreaming. What do you think it is? Where do you think are we going to another realm? What are your thoughts on the dream state? Because I think I used to be a
well, I
person
don't.
that never, obviously I've always looked into dreams and stuff, but never I they were just a dream. But I now the more I do this show, the more I talk to people, the more dreams seem to be something so much bigger than
You
we.
know, I think some dreams are. I don't think all dreams are. You know, I think that when you have a very specific vision or prophecy in your dreams, you know it. You know, it's something that, oh, whoa, you know, what was that? It's similar to my symbol. When I don't know if I have a copy of my symbol, but it's in all of my logos. It's basically three lines, and then it has two lines, you know, coming down. And after I'd become a Reiki master, I had that came to me in a dream. When I had this dream, three bearded guys look just like me, right, appeared, and then all I saw was these lines going across, right, just lines, and then the bottom two broke off, and I remember waking up going, "What the hell is that?" I'm like, "I gotta write this down." So I had a tablet at the time, and it had one of those things where you could draw with your finger on the tablet, and so I drew that symbol the way I saw it in my dream. And I use that file for every one of my logos. Every one of my logos has that exact file that I drew myself that morning. And it's just, I don't really know exactly what it means. I know it represents me. You know, it has a couple different interpretations. Part of it makes it look like maybe it's a spaceship. Part of it makes it look like maybe it's a table, like a Reiki table. Or maybe downloads coming down from, you know, the Trinity, I guess, if you wanted to, you know, recall, you know, Christianity or Catholicism or, you know, a spiritual, you know, aspect. But I just know that I get messages through dreams. They're very powerful. Like I say, some dreams, you know, you can go periods where you just don't dream, either I don't dream or I don't remember them. And then I'll have a period where bam, 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 these powerful, you know, dreams where I wake up just, where's my journal? You know, and got to write it down because it's just so strong. So yeah, you know, to answer your question, some dreams are definitely messages, but I don't think they're all messages. I think maybe they're just there to kind of keep the channel open. You know, like you could be watching TV, you know, and watching your favorite sports game, right? And the TV's still on, but it's a bunch of commercials, you know, until the real stuff comes in, and then you're like, oh, and then you're like glued to it, right?
Yeah, man, for
So maybe
sure.
dreams are like that too.
I've had dreams where I've woke up and sometimes you wake up from a dream and you forget it 2 seconds after you woke up. It didn't mean anything. But then sometimes you wake up and you remember the dream so clearly. You've just lived it and you remember, and it's like so real. And it's like, man, I just feel that it affects you. It affects your mood. Like the dream is, and that doesn't always happen with dreams, obviously. But as you're saying, you do get dreams that are like, wow, that was real. That felt so real. And you can have a bad dream that sort of stays with you that morning and you're like, man, that was such a mad dream, you know? And it was. And then, yeah, you get dreams that mean nothing and they're gone.
Well, you know, it's interesting too because I've had periods of like deja vu, right? Which is kind of like it feels like you're in a dream state while you're awake. And I've had these periods probably like three or four times in my life where this period of deja vu lasted for like hours to where you're just kind of like, you can kind of remember a dream, but you can only remember kind of like just a sliver of it. but it stays with you. And then you're just kind of like, wow, what am I, wow. You know, one time, I think it was when I was in my 20s, I had that where I was had that all day long, almost. It was just hours. And all I could, get from it was that I was being prepared for something big. I didn't know what it was, right? And those deja vu awake dream states are just so, where you just want to push it and grab it and pull it in, but you can't. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Deja is such a weird feeling when you get deja vu, and it doesn't normally last very long. You're like, oh, I feel like I've had this moment, or just get that weird feeling. But to have it for that long, for that period of
Yeah,
time,
where you feel like you are one foot in the dream and one foot in not dream, but you're awake. You're kind of like, what's real? You know, you just kind of float in it. You know,
yeah, man.
I've actually got went into that state when I've been working on somebody before, doing energy healing, and it's just yeah, crazy.
How long did it take you to become a Reiki master yourself after having your first treatment?
I think I was pretty adamant that I wanted to, this is what I'm doing. I need to go to master. I think within the first year I was a Reiki master.
Oh, wow.
But it's kind of like, I like to say it's kind of like being a black belt, right? Because when somebody goes into the martial arts and they become a black belt, you got your black belt. Does that mean you know everything? No, that means you've kind of mastered the basics. Right now, the real journey starts. I've made so much more growth after becoming a Reiki master than my journey to Reiki master. So that's why I mean a lot of there's a schools of thought on people becoming Reiki masters, how long you should train, and the different things you should do, everything. And I'm like, you know what? If somebody comes to me and says, I know that I'm supposed to be a Reiki master, okay, let's do it, right? But I also know that your journey doesn't stop there. Becoming a Reiki master, I think the title gets thrown around a lot. I am a Reiki master, but I don't really tell people, well, I'm a Reiki master, so I should know. It's I don't know, it doesn't feel right to me. I'm an energy healer, right? My practice, the modality that I use now is just has come intuitively through me, after becoming a Reiki master. I think I like to call Reiki the gateway drug, right? Because a lot of times people get their attunements and then it turns them on to other spirituality, other modalities, and it really just kind of starts their journey, And so I view it as that. There was a portion of time where I felt reluctant to teach classes because I wasn't doing Reiki anymore. I was kind of doing it, but I was doing so much more, right? Stuff that they don't teach. But I realized that when I teach Reiki, I'm teaching that system, right? I'm teaching that system, and that is a foundation for somebody that will help them with terminology, help them, know that they're actually doing it, really feel, get grounded in it. And then they can use, go off and grow and branch out from there. But it's very important to, help people, because people come to me all the time and say, I think I've been doing this all my life. I think I've been healing people, and they probably have. And I tell them that. I say, you probably have, but you just don't know what to call it. You think you're crazy. You think you doubt yourself. So by training, a modality such as Reiki, it really helps you to, feel comfortable in doing the work. That's why I'm cool with teaching Reiki again, because a lot of times people will say, "Well, I felt that. What did you? How are you doing that?" I'm like, "I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing. I don't know what to call it. I don't know what to, I just know that when I do a certain thing, I can feel tingling through my body. People can feel it, and it's real and it's powerful."
So interesting, man.
I like to equate, a good analogy for energy healing, right? People say, "Well, how can you measure it? I can't see it," right? And I say, "Well, energy is kind of like is like the wind, right? I can look out that window, and I don't see air moving, right? But how do I know that there's wind? Because I see its effects. I see that the trees are blowing, or the dust is blowing, or something,
And you
right?
can
So
feel
that."
it.
And that's how you know energy healing, because you see its effects, you feel their effects. In my class, I tell people as soon as they get their certification, I'm like, go home, work on your dog, work on your kids, work on your spouse, work on your boyfriend, your girlfriend, work on them, all right? Because you need feedback, because that's how you're going to get the confidence. That's how you're going to build that awareness, that knowing that I'm doing it. You have to do that, because if you don't, you're going to go, "Well, I took a Reiki class, but I don't really know if I'm." You got to practice.
Yeah, man, like everything, you know, everything takes practice.
Yeah, but I mean, you will not know until you start feeling it. I had a woman one time ask me, "Do you channel Jesus when you're doing your sessions?" And I said, "Well, not really, not intentionally." I said, "Why?" "Because he was standing at the foot of the bed when you were working on me." "Wow, that's incredible, I've experienced a lot in the years that I've done this work, and I'm sure a lot of people that practice these modalities have seen some fantastic things as well, but to tell somebody, it's real because I, well, do you got pictures? If it, no pictures, it didn't happen, right? But I mean, there's always skeptics, and I love skeptics. Come on in, come on. I got something for you.
There's so much more going on around us that we can't see.
Oh,
Well,
absolutely.
sometimes we can't see, sometimes we can see, but there's so much to this world going on around us that's just that's there. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
Absolutely.
There's a lot happening, man. That is for sure. It's wild, super interesting. Can I ask you, because I'm very interested in asking you this, 'cause I know you're a very positive man. How do you deal with negative emotions? We all have moments where we do get a bit negative, or you're having a
Sure.
bad day. How do you deal with that?
Well, you gotta, it's the human condition. No matter how spiritual, no matter how magical, we're still human beings. And you have to give yourself some leeway. Just like, all right, I'm feeling like shit. I feel it. Go cry. Go and do what you gotta do. It kind of ties in with people that are star seeds and past life regression and this kind of thing. I love all that stuff, but at the end of the day, we all have one thing in common. We're all humans. We all live on this earth, and we just got to be good ones. It where your soul came from, where it's going to go next, kind of is irrelevant, when you're in this 3D hologram. We're all, walking around in skin suits. We're going to feel shit that, attaches to that. We feel, hurt. We feel, brokenhearted. We feel, used or whatever, things that can disrupt our day. One of the things you got to understand is that, think of the worst day possible that you've ever had. Guess what? You survived.
Yeah, man.
And you have to kind of maintain that this too shall pass.
Yeah, for sure.
It sucks. I'm doing the best I can. If I can manage to not take somebody down with me, because a lot of times we want to lash out at people and things like that. But it's all, it's just training ourselves. We do
Yeah,
the
man.
best we can, it, no matter what you've done in your past. You did the best you could with what you had at the time, and you're still standing. You're talking to me right now, so you made it. Sometimes shifting that perspective can help when we're having a bad day.
Yeah, for sure,
Different
man.
point of view, different perspective. And try to think of things that make you happy.
Yeah.
What am I going to do tomorrow? look, if you have to, look toward which, that thing you got planned next week. And well, okay, well, this will be over soon, and then I'll be on to my next one, and it'll be fun, and things will be better.
Yeah, it's a good message, right? Sometimes those the bad days that are the days that sort of make you really. They sort of start you off
Sure.
on the good days,
Well, there's got to be, contrast. It's like they say with music. If there was no space in between the notes, it would just be all white noise.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
You got to have that space in between in order to make the music. So, the contrast, that you wouldn't, without good, there's no evil, because how would you know the difference? It would just, it reminds me of the conversation I've had about ego. A lot of people say, oh, ego, you got to release your ego, let go of your ego. Well, ego to a certain point is necessary, because if nobody had an ego, nobody would stand up and do it. Nobody would stand up and say, you know what? I got this. I can do it. I'm the guy. Right? There has to be, the hero has to have an ego.
Yeah, man.
Has
Yeah,
to.
100%.
Because to be able to stand up and say, I can do it. But the thing is, if your ego is in alignment with your higher self and your higher calling, that's when it becomes powerful, because that's your vehicle. Your ego is your identity in this 3D world. And when you say, I can use the gifts that I have, and I can be in alignment with my higher calling, that's power. That's powerful stuff. That's where heroes are born.
Super interesting. I've got to ask you, we talked a little bit about the star seeds that you've come across and the UFO phenomenon. I can't say that word, so I'm not going to say it again. But what's your thoughts on all that?
Well, I believe that I know that, there's other beings, from whether it be interdimensional, whether it be inner Earth, because that saying is like, they say, oh, to be a fly on the wall, right? On some big, meeting or something. Well, if I was gonna send, something to infiltrate, our world, why does everybody think it's gonna be a humanoid? Why not a bird? Why not a lizard? Why not a fly? I mean, come on. I think that things have been, kind of gathering information on us without us even batting an eye. I think it's very possible that, a dragonfly or a spider up in the ceiling or something is gathering intelligence and sending it back. I mean, look at, if you look at the movie The Lord of the Rings, the series of the movies, the birds were, gathering intel for Sauron. So, I mean, it's, this is something that, obviously has been in folklore and things like that for forever. The animals, the beasts, especially now, all of a sudden science will say, oh, we discovered a new species of something, right? And it's like, oh, did it just land? Maybe.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
And I mean, you look at the ocean. The ocean is, covers more space than the land on our planet. There's areas of our land we haven't just, we haven't in explored, let alone the ocean.
Yeah. Well, we only know 20% of the ocean, so they say.
Yeah, on a good day.
Yeah.
For things to be here undetected, yes. I mean, we keep looking outwards to the stars, and it's like, what
So
about
are
here?
you.
Because that's one of the analogies I like to use too, when and people want to talk about, being Palladian or being our, Arcturian or whatever. And it's like, when we talk about God, we talk about, off-worlders. And we have to realize that this earth is our God, because we come from this earth, right? We cannot leave this planet unless we bring earth with us. We need water, we need food, right? We need warmth, gravity. We need to bring these things with us, right? We can't, colonize another planet. Come on. We are earthlings.
Yeah.
You know, until we die, we are earthlings. You know, what happens after that? I don't know. You know, nobody does. It's all speculation. Every single spiritual practice, every single religion is all speculation. Because nobody knows for sure. You just got to go with what resonates with you.
All we do know is that there is a lot more. what it quite is, we're not sure. But
knowing that we don't know is probably the highest form of intelligence. Thinking we got it all figured out? Yes.
Nowhere near.
That's just fooling yourself.
Have you seen anything when you've been in the forest, in the sky, that you can't explain? Have you seen anything like that? Any lights or?
No, not really. I know I talk to trees, they talk to me. You know, it's funny, there's this one place I go out in the forest, and this was probably about 3 or 4 years ago when I went out, and I found a trail that kind of went off the beaten path, so to speak, and, you know, built a stone circle, something I could, you know, go and meditate in. And so I found this one tree, and I called him the sentry, right, because he was guarding the path that forked off the main path. And so when I'd go out there, I would talk to him and I would say, hello, you know, can I pass? And his deep voice is, oh, the wizard's here. And then he like booms it out to the rest of the forest. And he says, you can pass safely. Right. And so I was thinking, well, is this my imagination? I don't know. But then there's a little convenience store out here. And one morning I walked in there and the owner of the shop looks out up at me and goes, oh, the wizard's here. And I went,
whoa.
What'd you say? And he's like, well, you know, you kind of look like a wizard and all that. But he said it just the same way the trees do. And I was like, okay, there's my confirmation.
Yeah, man. Everything's connected.
Everything's connected.
Wow. That's so cool. What would, if you met yourself, I don't know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, would you recognize what you are now?
No, because, you know, because I needed to go through all the, excuse me, I needed to go through all that crap to get me here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like us all.
That made me who I am.
Yeah.
You know, to change something, you know, might have changed your life to, you know, different, turn a different way.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, what if he'd gone back and said, well, don't date that girl. Don't date this girl. Do this. You know, invest in this, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, your life takes a totally different path.
Yeah, yeah. Because the smallest decision could mean the biggest change you can imagine. So, yeah, man. Brett, super, super interesting. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story. It doesn't
Absolutely.
Sound like it's over, that's for sure.
I don't think so either.
There's certainly going to be more to talk about. That is for sure. But thank you so much, man, for coming on, sharing your experiences, your journey. Super interesting stuff. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you?
So you can find me on the internet, wizardforestadventures.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I think I'm BBWizard444 on Instagram. But if you go, like I say, Wandering Wizard Forest Adventures on Facebook, Brett Hand on Facebook, and then wizardforestadventures.com. I keep my website pretty, you know, pretty well up to date. But the most up to date is, you know, the Facebook page. That's kind of the thing now. So, you know, we
awesome.
Bow down to the mighty Facebook.
Yeah, 100%, man. We got to do it. I'll share all the links in the show description.
Cool.
Brett, thank you so much, man. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I really enjoyed it tonight. And
you
hopefully,
too,
hopefully the first of many conversations.
Yeah, it'd be great. Love to talk some more.
Awesome, man. I'm going to keep growing my beard as well. I've got a bit of
grow
catching
your
up
beard,
to do.
Be the wizard.
The ginger wizard.
Well, my hair used to be that color.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man.
It wasn't always Arctic blonde.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. You're a fellow G, as I like to say.
Yep, sure.
Awesome stuff, brother. Thank you so much, man. And I'll speak to you soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
room. You can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway, and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?